And Father, as we continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, would you continue to speak to us? God, it is a blessing to be together to fellowship, and it's sweet, and we should do that. But also, Lord, another reason that we come before you is to sing praises to your name, to glorify you, which we have done. And now this next part of our service to you, Lord, as we enter into the Word of God, we ask that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying as we continue through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, of course, we can go through the book of 1 Corinthians. And so we're going to start a new section of the book of the 1 Corinthians. And it has to do concerning the gifts of the Spirit. And so I'm fully aware, because I've been a Christian for a while now, of the controversy behind the gifts of the Spirit. And so as we go through these chapters, chapters 12, 13, and 14, we're going to take our time, okay? So we're not even going to get through the whole entire of chapter 12 this morning. We're probably just going to get through the first 11 verses. And I'm going to warn you, too. I am going to have us turn different places in the Bible. Now, if you can't keep up, then just write them down and turn later, okay? And just listen. But as I've been looking over the text here and praying about all this, and you know, one of the things that God put in my heart was to lay a foundation about the Holy Spirit and who he is. And also, listen, what we find in the body of Christ, or at least what I have found, okay? And I can only speak to my own experience, okay? What I have found is usually there's two camps in the body of Christ. There's one camp where they believe in the gifts, but it's craziness, it's chaos, it's bleh, you know, the stuff you see on Christian television, okay? There's that kind of stuff. And I may do that during the sermon, so it'd be great. There's that stuff, okay? Then there's the other side, where if you swing the pendulum the other way, where there's those who say, the Holy Spirit, no. And what I find oftentimes is those people in that camp who don't believe in the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit today is because they had a bad experience. Listen, our background is years ago, we used to go to a semi-Pentecostal church, okay? And I will tell you, we saw people exercise the gifts of the Spirit in a biblical way, but we also saw people abuse the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is you can have that kind of experience where somebody abuses the gifts, okay, and it can then poison your mind that they don't exist, that they're not valid anymore, that they don't work. And listen, when those kind of things happen, the best thing to do is go back to the Scripture. Go back to God's Word, what God's Word says about these subject matters. Not what so-and-so says in a book, not what your, you know, fellow Christian says. Because listen, as a young believer, I didn't know what, you know, when I went to this church, I didn't know what was going on. And, you know, but what it did for me was it caused me to search the Scripture. You know, to be a Berean, like Paul says in the book of Acts, talks about being a Berean, searching the Scriptures to know what Paul, they searched the Scriptures to know what Paul was teaching daily, or search the Scripture daily. Sorry, my fastball is still not back yet. COVID. To search the Scripture daily to know what Paul was saying, if what he's saying is true, if it lined up with God's Word. And so we need to be Bereans. Now, so he says this in verse 12, verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, when he says now concerning, he's going to move then to the subject matter. So he's been talking about all kinds of things, divisions, sexual issues, all kinds of things. And this last week he talked about, or last week we talked about the Lord's Supper, how they were not going to the Lord, participating in the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Okay, so now he's going to hit another subject matter, as I said, spiritual gifts. Now, if you want to, this is going to sound crazy, okay? But chapters 12, 13, and 14, you can look at it like a ham sandwich. Okay, here's why I say this. So the one side of the roll, the bottom of the roll, is chapter 12. Okay, it's the foundation. In chapter 12, we're going to learn about what are the gifts and what they are for, okay? And then the meat, the ham part, is chapter 13. The motivation behind the gifts is love. And then the top bun, okay, is chapter 14, where it's going to show, in chapter 14, Paul's going to talk about what is the order of the gifts. How are the gifts supposed to be exercised in a fellowship, all right? That's the one thing you're going to remember is like ham theology. Okay, ham sandwich theology. All right, so now concerning spiritual gifts. And look, in your Bible, the word gifts is in italics. So literally he's saying, now concerning spirituals. Now that word for spiritual basically means spiritual endowments. Okay, and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now what he's saying there, ignorant literally means not to know. And some of your translations may say uninformed. So Paul is trying to say, listen, I don't want you guys not to know. I don't want you guys to be ignorant of these things. And see, you have to understand, as we get through these texts, you're going to find that the church in Corinth was exercising the gifts, but they were abusing them. And part of the reason they were abusing them is because there was divisions. We've talked about this numerous times in this book. There were divisions among them. There were factions. You know, Paul would also talk about two other subject matters in the Bible where he says he doesn't want them to be ignorant. He doesn't want to be ignorant for the plan for Israel, okay? And the other one, my mind's escaping me, the last one I forget. So bad pastor, I forget. I'll have it for next week. But anyway, I do not want you to be ignorant or not to know. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. Remember, idolatry was big in Corinth, okay? So they would worship other idols. And why does he say dumb idols? Dumb literally means silent or mute. It's because, think about it. If you worship God, if God is your God, if the God of the Bible is your God, he's going to speak to you through his word. He's not going to be silent. But if you worship, you know, like a wooden idol, the idol's not going to speak to you. You're just going to look at it. It's not going to speak to you. And he says, they were carried away these dumb idols, and however you were led. See, they were led by these idols, the idolatrous worship. So, look, if they're having trouble with the gifts of the Spirit, if they're not exercising them correctly, they can't use the experience they had with pagan idolatry. They can't do that, okay? And so he says, verse 3, therefore I make known to you, so he's making it known to them, that no one speaking, listen, by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus Christ accursed. That word is anathema in the Greek. It literally means to be excommunicated. See, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, if you are being led of the Holy Spirit, you are not going to call Jesus Christ accursed. You're not. You're not going to do that. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing. We learned this on Wednesday night when we covered the church of Sardis. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is what draws us to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is what illuminates the Scripture to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to Jesus. See, I didn't even care that Jesus was Lord before I was a believer. But how I became a believer was Jesus Christ drew me by the Holy Spirit. God drew me by the Holy Spirit to Jesus. He opened my eyes to see who Jesus was, and I put my faith and trust in Christ, and it changed me forever. See, remember, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, what happens, according to John chapter 3, the Holy Spirit then comes and lives inside of you. You're born again by the Spirit of God. And so as the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, then what does it do? It works in you, or the Spirit works in you, rather, and you make Jesus the Lord of your life. See, what does it mean when somebody's the Lord of someone's life? It means that they're the master over you, that they control your life, that you look to them to be led. What direction should I go, Lord? And the Lord will lead you. See, it's like being a follower of Christ. We throw that around a lot. Now, so he's talking about, he's going to get into the gifts in a minute. But before we get into the gifts, here's something I want you guys to understand, okay? And I need to make this crystal clear, and most of you probably already know this. But do you know that the Holy Spirit is God? That God is three persons, but one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want you to do is put your finger here in 1 Corinthians and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be in one verse, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1. I'm trying to lay this foundation, this theological foundation of who the Holy Spirit is. See, oftentimes we forget that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He's not some force. It's not Star Wars, okay? He's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. And listen, hey, no offense for all you King James lovers. Sometimes I think in the King James it makes it confusing because it says Holy Ghost. Okay, and so people have this notion of ghost, because we have this notion of this ghost. It's like this white essence thing. It's like a, you know, you can see through it. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And so, chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26, this is the day, describing the day of creation. It says this in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. I know that's confusing today, but it's male and female. He created them. Now, notice how he says here in the beginning of verse 26, let us. Who's the us there? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what who the us there is, okay? So God is the creator, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, I want you then to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And listen, I'm only going to hit a couple verses with regards to this. There's many more verses in the Bible, but I'm only going to hit three this morning. So Matthew chapter 3, we're going to be in verse 16 and 17. Okay. In the context is Jesus is going to be baptized by John the Baptist. So verse 16, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You realize in these couple of verses, you have all persons of the Trinity. Jesus, the Son, he's coming out of the water. You have the Holy Spirit descending upon him as a dove. And then you have God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So the Bible teaches, and look, there is this theological term that we throw around called the Trinity. Okay? But here's the thing. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but that's okay. The word Trinity is used to describe what we just read here. That God is one God, three distinct persons. Now, there is false teaching that goes around the church called modalism, where they say that God the Father was God the Father, and I don't know exactly their reasoning, but like, for example, use the example that God was God the Father in creation, and then that God was the Son in Jesus, and then God's the Holy Spirit. In other words, they separate the three. You can't separate the three. There's one God, three distinct persons. Do I fully understand that? The answer is absolutely not. I don't. I don't understand it this side of heaven. But when I see it for myself in heaven, I'll understand it better. Okay? Now, one more place before we turn back to 1 Corinthians. I want us to turn... Well, actually, that's a lie. We're going to turn out of place. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, the end of the Gospel of Matthew. This is a familiar passage. It's the Great Commission. But I want us to notice something here. Matthew 28, and we're going to be in verse 19. Verse 19. Well, let's back up to verse 18. So he says this. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. This is the disciples. And this is before he's going to ascend to his Father in heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Who gave me authority? God the Father, of course. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Listen to what he says. Baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All three of the Trinity are represented there. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now see, listen, the reason I'm saying this is very important. This, I feel, is something, and listen, I read an article on Wednesday night because it talked about in the article that 62% of Christians do not believe that the Holy Spirit is real. Because if you believe that, you know what you're saying? You believe that God's not real. Because the Holy Spirit is God. Now, okay, so how does the Holy Spirit work in our life? Okay, that's a question. How does the Holy Spirit work in our life? Well, he is with us, he is in us, and then he comes upon us. He empowers us for ministry. Now, here's what I want you to do. Make a right-hand turn. And turn to John chapter 14. John's Gospel chapter 14. The context there is it's the upper room discourse. It's before Jesus is going to be crucified. Let me tell you something. Some great chapters to read in the Bible are John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And 17. They're tremendous chapters to read because these are the last things that Jesus are going to say to his disciples, teach his disciples, before he's crucified. And there's a lot of theology in there. Great things. Okay? John chapter 14, we're going to be verse 16, okay? We'll start verse 15. So John chapter 14, verse 15, he says to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That word for helper is parakletos in the Greek. Para means to come alongside. Okay? When you hear parable, right? You guys have heard of parables? Jesus teaching parables? So parable means, the idea of a parable is you're giving a spiritual truth next to an earthly truth. Okay? You're using an earthly truth to be an example of a spiritual truth. And so parakletos, it says the helper, or you, literally it's the comforter. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Now listen. Listen to what he says very carefully. He says, he dwells with you, and then he says, and will be in you. See, here's the point what Jesus is trying to make. So before you get saved, before the Holy Spirit dwells in you, he's with you. He's leading you. The Bible talks about that he convicts the world of sin and righteousness. See, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, is using the Holy Spirit to draw us to Jesus Christ. And so we have a choice. If we're drawn to Jesus Christ and we see who Jesus is, we have a choice to either say, okay, I believe Jesus is the Son of God and I receive him. And when I receive Jesus Christ, I talked about this a few minutes ago, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. So this part where he says, and will be in you. Okay? Now, if you reject Jesus, who do you think is not going to be living in you? The Holy Spirit. It's that simple. So there is this idea in these two verses of chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, that there is the para, the alongside relationship of the Holy Spirit. Then there's the en. Literally in the Greek, in is en. he is with us, he is in us. Now, okay, so we get saved, the Holy Spirit is in us. Okay, now, I have something to ask all of you. I was asked this years ago by a pastor. So, when did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit? When did the Holy Spirit come and live inside the disciples? That was a challenge. I was like, I didn't think about it. I don't know. Well, now make a right-hand turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to be verse 21 of John chapter 20. Now the context here is Jesus visits his disciples after being resurrected. What has happened? So if there was the resurrection, what happened before the resurrection? The crucifixion. He died on the cross for what? For their sins and our sins, right? Now listen to this. Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, listen to what he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Christ died on the cross, was resurrected. That is the gospel. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside the disciples now. See, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of them. Now, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are fine. Now, one more place I want you guys to turn. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So this idea of the Holy Spirit is with them, then he was in them. And now, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them. Okay? Okay. Now, we went through the book of Acts. What is the book of Acts? What is it describing? It's describing the early church. It's describing the church once Jesus has ascended to heaven to his Father. Right? Okay. Verse 8 of chapter 1, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word upon in the Greek is epi. It's a P. Come upon you. Wait a minute. I thought in John chapter 20 they already received the Holy Spirit. They did. But see, this is a different experience with the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Why? What's he say? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, what does it say? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. See, here's the thing. When you read the book of Acts, it says, a lot of your Bibles say the Acts of the Apostles. Really, it's the Acts of the Apostles by the Holy Spirit. See, God empowers them. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus tells them to wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit coming upon them to empower them for ministry. Okay? So, when you get empowered by the Holy Spirit, oftentimes what happens is you exercise the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, there are examples, and we're not going to turn them for sake of time this morning, and I don't want to totally lose everybody, but in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they speak in tongues, or they prophesy. Now, does that mean that every time you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak in tongues? No. I know there are people in the body of Christ who say that. That is not true. That is contrary to what Scripture says. Does it mean that every time you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to prophesy? No. That's not what that means. Could it? Yes, it could. It may not. I don't know. I'm not God. God's going to determine that. But the Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you. And here's the thing. Why would God give them the power? Because they were about to go into a world, they were about to go into a Greco-Roman culture that was sinful, that was crazy. So I look at it like this. Lord, give me everything I need. Everything I need to be able to live this life, live this Christian life for you. Give me everything I need. See, don't you, when you're going to face something very difficult, don't you want everything you need to face it? And so that's what God was doing. He was empowering his church to be his witnesses. Okay, now, back to 1 Corinthians, all right? So again, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, not to know. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he says this, there are diversities of the gifts. Now, diversity simply means distinctions, it means variety, it means differences. There are diversities of gifts. That word for gifts literally means a gift of grace, a gift involving grace. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And verse 6, there are diversities of activities. The activities could be operations or workings, but the same God. You notice here in these three verses, each member of the Trinity, each person of God is represented. He says, diversity of gifts, same Spirit. Differences of ministries, same Lord. Diversities of activities, same God. So right there is the Trinity represented. I want to read something to you guys. These three verses, verses 4 through 6. Ministries, listen. Ministries probably has in mind the different gifted offices in the church, such as the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, as Paul also described in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's point is clear. Though there are different offices, it is the same Lord granting these offices and directing the service. See, if you read Ephesians 4, it says that Jesus ascended, or first he descended, then ascended, and he gave gifts. He gave these gifts of these offices of ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, okay? Let me read on further. It says, the Greek word for activities, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, so I'm going to try to pronounce it, where we get the word energy, energetic, and energized from. It is a word of active, miraculous power. Activities is the same word as working, and we're going to hit it in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, the working of miracles. Differences of activities means that God displays and pours out his miraculous power in different ways, but it is always the same God doing the work. So we need to remember that. God is not always going to work the same in our lives. He's not going to work the same in our lives, just like he's not going to work the same in other people's lives too. There's no formula here. And I'll explain in a moment, or a little bit later. All of these are gifts. And some gifts are ministries, standing offices, or positions in the church. So, for example, I have the gift to be a pastor teacher. That's why I'm standing before you this morning. Okay? Some gifts are activities, miraculous events or outpourings at a particular time and place, such as the manifestation of spirit. And we'll hit that in a moment. So he goes on now to say in verse 7, but a manifestation, that is a showing forth of the Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. The profit, for the benefit, okay, for to be helpful to all. God has given the gifts of the Holy Spirit to his people so that they might be used to build up the body of Christ. That is the whole point of the gifts. That's the whole point of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's to build up the body of Christ. It's to build each other up. See, each of us doesn't have the same gift. We don't have the same gift. And that's okay. That's where true diversity comes. See, diversity is not something that's forced. Diversity just happens. Okay? Like, all of us are different. We all look different. We all have different backgrounds, different experiences. But guess what? We work together as the body. Because he's going to gift us each differently. See, each one of you here sitting here this morning has at least one spiritual gift. Do you guys realize that? You have one spiritual gift. I don't know what it is. That's between you and the Lord. Now, he's going to go on now in the rest of these verses here to describe some of the gifts. He's going to say, verse 8, he's going to say, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. See, he's talking again. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit is God. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But now look, here's the key. Please hear this verse out. Please. He says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing or apportioning to each one individually. These last three words, as he wills. It's God's will. It's not my will. It's God's will. God will give us gifts. It's like this. You know, on Christmas is coming up. When my kids were little and I gave them Christmas gifts, okay, I chose to give them the gifts that they wanted, all right? It wasn't like they sat there and said, Dad, I need you to give me this gift. That's not how it works, okay? I'm their father. But I love them, so I want to give them gifts. Because why? I want to give them gifts to bring joy to their life. And so the same with God the Father. God the Father loves us and wants to use us, and he wants to give us these gifts to be used. Why? To build each other up, not to tear each other down. See, the problem with the gifts, the Spirit, and the whole debate, you know, the two sides of the issue, you go to war with each other. You tear each other down. You know, people who don't believe, they say there's people who believe. They're just, you know, whatever, okay? Or they say, hey, you guys don't know. You know, it's craziness. Trust me. Craziness. But here, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says that God has given us gifts to be used. And by the way, as we go through these chapters, okay, the church in Corinth is using these gifts, they're abusing them. At no point does Paul say stop doing this. What he does say, listen, you need to stop abusing them. This is how they're supposed to be used. And we get all that in chapter 14. See, people tend to miss that. See, Paul never says, don't do these anymore, don't. He doesn't ever says that. Because think about it. Again, the Greco-Roman culture, they were sex-obsessed, sports-obsessed. They were money-obsessed. Does it sound familiar? And if the church needs the power of the Holy Spirit, if the church needs the gifts of the Holy Spirit then, don't you think we need them now? All of them. But again, we watch TV and we see people going crazy and we say, well, then that means it's not real. That's not what it means. It means that they don't understand. It means that they're not using them properly. That's what it means. Sorry, I'm passionate about this. All right, so let's talk about these gifts. All right, look. The purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is threefold: to point us to Jesus, to build up the body, and to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. Pastor Chuck Smith said this. He said, the overarching principle concerning the gifts of the Spirit is this. Listen very carefully. The true gifts of the Holy Spirit, when manifested in a scriptural and correct way, will always focus people's hearts on Jesus Christ. On Jesus Christ. And see, that's why we should be used in the body, because we're to focus on Christ. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Thank you. Jesus said the Spirit would not testify of himself, but of Christ. The scriptural exercise of gifts will always give you a fresh vision of Jesus Christ and his glory, causing you to fall in love with him and be drawn to him all over again. That is why the gifts are important. Look, there's three different categories to these gifts. There's the revelation gifts, which is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. There's the spoken gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then there's the power gifts, faith, healings, miracles, word of wisdom. What is word of wisdom? Word of wisdom is a supernatural ability or power given to an individual by the Holy Spirit to properly apply knowledge. Example, look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6. It was when the deacons were installed. There were some Hellenistic widows who were complaining because they weren't having their needs met. So what did the apostles do? They went and they prayed. And God put it on their heart to do what? Well, to install deacons. So there was an issue. There was knowledge they had. And the Holy Spirit gave them a word of wisdom. Now, here's the interesting thing. In the text, it doesn't say that they go, wait a minute, I got a word of wisdom. See, the issue with that is, what can happen is, when you do that kind of thing, you're focusing on the gift instead of the gift giver. See, here's the thing. The gifts of the Spirit are supernaturally natural. And what I mean by that is, if you're living your life with Christ, if you're following him, as you go through life, God's going to use you. He's going to distribute these gifts upon you when you don't expect it. Now, can you ask for gifts? Sure you can. Will he always give it to you? No. Like, I ask for gifts sometimes, he doesn't give them to me, and that's okay. But as you walk with Christ, as you follow him, as you go through life, as you're being a witness for him, God is going to equip you and give you the ability to witness for him. You see what I'm saying? Word of knowledge. The supernatural ability and power given to an individual by the Holy Spirit to communicate information that has been divinely revealed. Example, the book of Acts, chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira sell their property. But they hold back some of the proceeds. They're going to give the proceeds to the church. They're going to look like they're religious. They're going to give some of them, but not all of them. And the Holy Spirit tells Peter, hey, Ananias, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Peter didn't know that. How do you know that? God told him through the Holy Spirit. Did you ever have that happen? I've had it happen, guys, to me. God has given me knowledge. One time God told me, there were people who were going to leave our church, and they did. I didn't know. I had no idea. Like, I don't have cameras on you guys, and I go to your windows and look what you're doing. Trust me, I don't. But God has told me things before what he was going to do. And see, a word of knowledge also is, look, you could be a church, and you can be worshiping the Lord, and somebody that you are near is upset for some reason, and God puts on your heart to go and speak to them. You have no idea what's going on. And, God may tell you, hey, you need to tell that person that I love them. You need to tell them that I love them and you love them. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I've had people at church come up to me and say things to me. And here's the thing about a word of knowledge. When God uses that gift in somebody's life, you're going to just confirm what already God is speaking to that person. You ever gone through a really challenging time and you're praying and you're seeking, Lord, you need to speak to me? And God will speak to you in the scripture, and then all of a sudden somebody will come by and say, hey, listen, I want you to know God wants me to share this with you. And it's the same verse. You ever have that happen? That's happened to me numerous times. Numerous times. That's the word of knowledge at work. But nobody said, stop, this is a word of knowledge. Nobody said that to me. Faith. Okay, well, we all have faith to believe in Christ, but faith is a supernatural ability and power given to an individual by the Holy Spirit to have an absolute confidence that God not only can do something extraordinary, but that he will. You ever meet somebody like that? You ever have somebody exercise the gift? It's real encouraging. You have it's supernatural. You have this faith. Hey, it's going to happen. I know God's going to do it. I believe it. And God does it. Gift of healings, the supernatural ability, power given to an individual by the Holy Spirit to restore the body from a state of damage or disease to a state of wholeness. Look, the Gospels and the book of Acts are all about people being healed. Did everybody get healed? The answer is no, not everybody did. But see, that's why he says in verse 11, distribute to each one individually as he wills. See, here's the thing about healing, okay? You have so many people today who have these quote-unquote healing ministries. See, when you have a healing ministry, or you claim to, what you're basically saying is, God, I'm going to tell you when you're going to heal. Okay? Seriously, that's if you really think about it, if you really understand what the scripture is saying, if you take the scripture of totality and you look how God works, you're basically telling God when he is going to move in someone's life. Listen, I've prayed for people, guys, and they've been healed. And I didn't go, that was the gift of healing. It just happened. It's supernaturally natural. I've had people that I've prayed for, and I've seen them healed. Quite frankly, guys, I wish I would see it more. And listen, it doesn't always mean that I'm right there putting hands on them. It can mean I'm on the phone with them and I pray for them. Or it could be I'm praying in my prayer time, my personal prayer time for them. And I find out a couple days later, hey, you know, I went to the doctor and God said that tumor was gone. No way, what time? 1 o'clock? I was praying at 1 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? I've seen him do things. I've seen him with somebody who I know who had a lump on their breast with the x-ray, and we prayed for them and it was gone. It was gone. See, God still wants to move today. But here's the thing about healings. What does this all, the healings are to confirm what? That God's real. To confirm that Jesus is real. It's not so I point to the person. How dare you point to yourself? Think about that. Think about how contrary that is to what God says in his word. That's why, listen, when you hear people say they have these healing ministries, man, I run the other direction. I do. Working of miracles, the supernatural ability. And listen, I could give you so many scriptures on the gift of healings. I can't stand here this morning and tell you. I can't tell you that. Because there's so many I could give you that's in the Bible. Okay? But again, listen, I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean that just because you pray for healing, you're going to be healed. I am not God. I don't know. God knows the end from the beginning. And see, that's where it gets hard, guys. So, look, in a sense, it's easier not to believe that that gift is an operation today because it explains more as to why God. It's not that you can't, or you can't do it. You can do it. It's not, you won't do it for some reason. And I don't know why. You know, my oldest sister died in 2014 of cancer. And I prayed numerous times for her that God would heal her. And in a sense, God did heal her. He brought her home. But do I fully understand? Because the impact, I'm still feeling the ripple effect in her family and our family because of it. Do I understand? No, I don't. I'm not going to understand until I'm there. And that's where it gets hard for us. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. The working of miracles, the supernatural ability and power to an individual by the Holy Spirit to operate to laws that are higher than the laws of nature. Example, obviously, is Jesus. The wedding of Cana of Galilee. He turns the water to wine. Now, am I saying that if you pray you're going to turn water to wine? I'm not saying that. Could you possibly? Who knows? I don't know. But in the book of Acts, we look at the way that God... And listen, the working of miracles, too, is this, guys. You know, one thing we forget about a miracle... It's a miracle every time somebody gives their life to Christ. It really is. Because their nature, their depraved nature is, I don't want to trust in the living Savior. And yet God moves in their life in a way that they trust in Christ and it changes everything. Have you ever had something where your car broke down? Lord, I gotta get to this meeting. I don't know how. Lord, please. And all of a sudden, your car starts. And there's no reason for it to start. That's a miracle. Prophecy. The supernatural ability or power given to an individual by the Holy Spirit to speak forth the direct word of God. Now, this is something interesting. That word for prophecy here, it means... the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God. Now, when we think of prophecy, what do we think of? We think of people who foretell the future. He's talking about the gift of prophecy here in the New Testament, which is to speak forth God's word. And here's what it is. You speak forth God's word that results in, listen, edification, that's building up, exhortation, or comfort. Paul will go on to say that in chapter 14 about the gift of prophecy. That's what prophecy is.
See, here's the thing. When I teach, hopefully I exercise the gift of prophecy. I speak forth God's word. And hopefully it's either edifying, building you up, exhorting you, telling you get your life together, or three, comforting you. But I don't stand here and go, that was the gift of prophecy. It just supernaturally happens. Discerning of spirits. The supernatural ability, power to give into an individual by the Holy Spirit to recognize false teaching or false teachers. Listen, if you read the Word of God, there is some discernment you will get from that. But there is abilities. Look, this is a true story. Many years ago, and you may even know this name. Any you guys ever hear of Ted Haggard? Okay, I saw Ted Haggard in an interview, and I said to my wife, there's something wrong with him in his life. He's hiding. He's leading a double life. And literally, a couple days later, they found he was doing drugs and visiting male prostitutes. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying I saw this person, and it was like, and look, for you comic book fans, it's like Spider-Man, my spidey sense is tingling. Something's not right. That's discernment. Something's not right. Like, you watch something on TV, you go, that's something's not right here. I don't know what it is. Lord, what is it? Because look, false teachers can wrap their false teaching in truth. But sometimes it takes a supernatural, the Holy Spirit, to say, that's something not right there. I can't put my finger on it, but something's not right. And listen, when God has worked that in my life and I've listened to him, God's always right. See, notice I didn't say, I'm always right. God's always right. See, that's the difference. Have I lost you all, or are you still with me? Okay. Tongues, the controversial verse here, or controversial gift, tongues, okay? The supernatural ability and power given to an individual by the Holy Spirit to speak and pray in an unknown language in which you glorify and worship God. Now, look, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's poured out and they start to speak in tongues, and it's in the known languages of the people around them. But notice something after that happens. Peter gets up and gives a sermon. In a sense, he gives an interpretation of what was being said. But as we go through chapter 14, we're going to find that tongues is not just a group setting. And if it's in a group setting, the next gift, interpretation of tongues, literally interpretation means translation, there has to be an interpreter. But Paul's going to talk about 14, a personal prayer time, that you speak in tongues to God. I'll tell you how crazy things are. Many years ago, I had a guy at church tell me that I can practice the gift of tongues. And because I didn't know God's word, I did. I drove down the street trying to speak in tongues. And I looked back and I said, how stupid was that? But here's the thing, I was immature. I didn't know the scripture. But see, the reason that happened was to drive me back to what God's word says. See, it's what God says. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what some guy writes in a book. It doesn't matter. It's what God says in his word. And listen, God is saying these gifts were in operation. Why would they not be in operation today? Why? If we are living in a culture that is, if not similar or the same, or even in some ways worse than what they were living now, and he gave these gifts to the church, why wouldn't he give them today? Why? Look, you don't have to agree with me, and that's okay if you don't. I'm not here to give you this speech or whatever to persuade you. I'm just trying to do the best I can to teach what the scripture says. That's simple. And so, the last gift he lists here, interpretation of tongues, the supernatural ability of power given to an individual, the Holy Spirit, to interpret what was spoken in an unknown language. Can I tell you, I've been in corporate prayer meetings or whatever, and someone speaks in tongues, and someone then says, this is what it said, this is what the tongue said. And all the times that I've ever heard that exercise in a proper way, it's always praise to God. It's always praise to God. It's always. It's always. I mean, look. If there's any individual in this church this morning who could stand before you and tell you he doesn't believe in the gifts for today, it's me. Because I've seen so many times it was abused over and over again. So many times. And I saw how people focused on the gifts themselves and not the gift giver, who's God. See, the purpose is to build the body of Christ. The purpose is to point to Jesus. Jesus gave his gifts to his church to exercise them. Each of us has one, at least one gift. I can't stand here before you today, this morning, and tell you what that is. Only God can tell you. But here's something you need to remember, and it's so important. Verse 11 again. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. See, and look, I should have said this in the beginning. As we go through these chapters, just check all of your experiences at the door. Just listen to what God says in his word. Don't listen to me. Listen to what God says in his word. What is God saying? This church was screwed up. Why is church screwed up? Because people are in it. I heard somebody say once that the church would be great except for the people. But, you know, the Barbra Streisand, people are people. You know, listen. Who cares? But if we're being honest with ourselves, we screw up. And we're sinners saved by grace. We're not perfect. We screw up. But see, here's the amazing thing. Even though that's true, God still wants to use us. God still wants to use us in our imperfections. God still, and here's the other thing that's really cool. Did you ever have a situation where God uses you in a situation? Doesn't it bring such joy to your heart? Because what does it do? First of all, it confirms that God's real. And it confirms, wow, God, I can serve you. I can do this. I can step out. And see, that's the thing. If you want to know if you have a gift, step out and use it. I didn't know I had the gift of teaching until I actually started to teach. And then God worked in me. See, it's like when somebody says to me, well, I read devotional time and I can't remember the scriptures like you do. Well, can I just tell you, one of the reasons I can remember the scriptures is because I have the gift of teaching. So that's okay if you don't have the gift of teaching. Some of you, and there's other places in the Bible that talks about other gifts, like in Romans chapter 12. One of the gifts in Romans chapter 12 is mercy. Some of you have the gift of mercy. Some of you have the gift of compassion. Exercise it. But see, this is going to make me sound like I'm a jerk. I don't always walk in the gift of compassion or mercy, but there are others who do all the time. Use that gift. See, when God tells you to go talk to somebody, go talk to them. When God tells you to pray for somebody, go pray for them. When God tells you, gives you a verse in your mind that's burning on your heart that you know you need to share it with somebody, go share it with them. Go share it with them. See, God is not a God of chaos and disorder. He is a God of order. And so many times, there are people who have church services and there'll be chaos. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you bark like a dog, just so you know. Seriously. That is so disorderly. As you read the scriptures, God disorderly, God is order. He's a God of order. Paul wrote this letter to set things in order in this church because they were doing stupid stuff. They were falling back on their pagan idolatry. They were relying on those things. They were walking carnal. He says in chapter 3, you are carnal. That means you are of the flesh. You need to stop. Being of the flesh shows your immaturity. See, God wants to use you for his service. He wants you to be his witness in this world, and he wants us to build each other up by using these gifts. I can't tell you what your gifts are. All I can tell you is you have a gift of some kind. And don't think God can't use you. He can use every single person in this room, but you've got to be willing and available. The thing that I always find funny is those are on the pendulum that don't believe that all the gifts are for today. Okay? They don't believe it. All right, so then why would God give you the gift if you don't even believe in it? You know what I mean? I will give them this. The people who are on this side, I give them this. I appreciate and respect them because they want to be right with the Word of God. They don't want chaos and disorder, okay? The thing I respect about these on this side, the crazies, I don't say crazy, sorry, more charismatic, they're willing to go for it. They have no fear. They have no fear to the point where they'll make a mistake. There's got to be a balance. You see the balance? See, we're going to stop here. But this is like a plug for Wednesday nights. So the church of Sardis needed the Holy Spirit. At no point in that church Did Jesus say to them that you didn't have the word of God or doctrine? They did. But you need both. You need the doctrine and you need the spirit. You need both. There needs to be a balance. See, there's a balance to this. There's a balance to this. See, it's not this. It's here. It's in the middle. There is, the gifts are true, but guess what? There's order to them. And as we go through these chapters, you're going to see, especially chapter 14, he's going to talk about that. In fact, you know what? I'm going to read it this morning. It's that ham sandwich, man. In order to have a ham sandwich, you got to have both buns and the meat. Get it? You have to have all three chapters. He says this in chapter 14, verse 40, last verse, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. That's what he says. He doesn't say, stop doing this. He says, let all things be done decently and in order. And look, the thing I always fall back on, guys, and I'm serious when I say this to you, we're living in a crazy time right now. We're living in a crazy time. We're living in a time where there is such an anti-Christ spirit in this world. So I want everything that God wants to give me in order to go against that. You understand what I'm trying to say? Or in order to live the life of Christ before everybody. I want everything that God has for me. And God's going to have things for me that he's not going to have for you, and vice versa. And that's okay. That's what makes us the body. So we're going to stop there this morning. Next week, the next part of the chapter, we're going to talk about how it works, how the body works together. Okay? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that everyone here this morning would eat the meat, spit out the bones. Truly, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one here this morning. Help them to recognize, Lord, that first, that Holy Spirit, you are God. Holy Spirit, you are God. You're not some force. You're not some ghost. You are actually God. Also, help them to recognize, Lord, if they're here this morning or watching and don't know you, that they haven't committed their life to you, that you aren't their Lord and Savior, I pray this morning would be that morning, that your Holy Spirit would open their eyes to see, who Jesus is, and that they would simply say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of those sins. And Jesus, be the Lord of my life from this day forward. It's that simple. Lord, you promise that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, for those of us who do know you, Lord, you have given us gifts. You've given us gifts like a father gives gifts. That's why we're here, your Heavenly Father. You say in your word that, Jesus, you say that a father, an earthly father, knows how to give a gift to an earthly son. So much more than does your Father in heaven want to give you the Holy Spirit. Father, you have given each person here in this room a gift. I pray that they would use it, they would exercise it, and I pray, Lord, that they would allow you to work in your life, that they wouldn't be afraid. They wouldn't allow what they've seen in past experiences to stop them. Lord, you are a God of order, so there's nothing to be afraid of. Oh God, work in our lives. Work in this church. Will we build each other up in these last days? Will we build each other up in these last days to go out and to proclaim the truth of your word, to proclaim the gospel to those around us, whether they're workers, family, friends, whoever, acquaintances, people, Wawa, whatever, Lord. May you work these things in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.